I want to focus upon Isaiah 32, 11 and 12. This is an appeal for the women of Judah to repent because terrible judgment and condemnation is going to come upon them. But Isaiah is showing them that they can avoid that if they act now as if they are condemned, if they accept that they should be condemned. And if they do that, then they will not be. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip yourselves, make yourselves naked, put sackcloth on your waist. Beat your breasts, or beat can be translated pluck off your breasts, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. So then, we're told in Ezekiel 23:34 that the women of rejected Judah will pluck off their own breasts in the mental agony of their condemnation. And that is what was going to happen. That is what Ezekiel 23:34 says was going to happen. And Isaiah 32:12 says, do that now. Do that now, and then that won't have to happen in the future. That's the connection then between Ezekiel 23:34. They will, as it were, want to pluck off their own breasts in the agony of condemnation. And yet, if they do that now, Isaiah is saying, it won't happen. And of course, stripping themselves naked and putting sackcloth around their waists is the image of women being shamefully led away into exile, into captivity, naked and only with the sackcloth around their most private parts. So what he's saying is, you've got to accept that you have sinned and that you will be condemned. But you don't have to be condemned if you accept that now and if you accept that condemnation now. But he says, you women who are at ease, you complacent ones, the RSV says. That's the thing. That people, nah, can't be bothered with this. No, sin, right, I'm not perfect, but, I'm relatively speaking not a bad person. And these women were just getting on with a very complacent lifestyle, hanging out with their friends, if they had supermarkets in those days, which they didn't, but they'd have been strolling the supermarkets, lost in small talk and checking the cell phones and all the rest of it. And Isaiah is saying, look, stop dead in your tracks. He is absolutely confronting them that this is what's going to happen to you. But if you recognize it, that you're worthy of that, and that you actually live out that condemnation now, then it won't happen. And this is the idea picked up in 1 Corinthians 11:31, where we are told in the AV that if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. That doesn't mean that you can avoid coming to the day of judgment. But the whole family of words based around the Greek word krino, which are translated judge, they include within them the sense of not only the process of judgment, but also of judgment in the sense of condemnation. This, I think, is the Lord's point when he says, judge not that you be not judged. He doesn't mean have no opinion. We are to, again, to quote him, judge righteous judgment. He means do not condemn. Do not, as it were, prejudge the outcome of the day of judgment for any one person. And Paul says that if we would judge or condemn ourselves, we would not be condemned in the context of the breaking of bread, when he says, examine yourselves, judge yourselves, search yourselves. And this is the whole point, that as you reconstruct in your own mind the death of the Lord Jesus, that you, as it were, stand before him with him there on the cross, and you, as it were, catch his eye, or he catches your eye. You know, we are condemned. And yet we have been saved out of that. This is, again, the image that Paul uses in Romans 1-8, where he starts off with all this legal language and metaphor that man is in the dock before God, and we are condemned. And yet, out of that condemnation, We can be declared right, not let off by the judge turning a blind eye, but actually be declared right. The word justification is used to translate this idea, but the idea is that we shall be declared right because we are in Christ, and his righteousness is counted to us. And then the metaphor, and of course the metaphor breaks down in places, but the legal metaphor invites us to see the Lord Jesus as both our judge and also our witness, the witness against us and also the witness for us, our judge and also our advocate for the defence, our lawyer who is speaking for us. So, we have to imagine ourselves coming to the day of judgment and the Lord looking us in the eye and saying, no, you sinned, you are condemned. There is the lake of fire, which is the second death. Go away, and yes, you shall weep and gnash your teeth, and it shall be your own fault, not mine. I died for you. I did all for you. You turned it down. You've got to imagine you standing there and him saying that to you, and then him saying, ah, but actually, you're wonderful. You're good. No. You're fine. You're in me. That's fine. Come to the right-hand side. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we've got to feel that now. Rather than being like these women at ease, as I say, just complacent, you complacent ones, the RSV says in Isaiah 32, who just would not face up to the reality of being a sinner. Now, talking about sin and condemnation and that we are worthy of condemnation is not popular these days. All the accent seems to be upon grace and don't worry about it, it's all going to be good in the end. Yes, but you only get to that final point through standing in the dock and being condemned and being saved out of that condemnation. Now, this is what gives you humility. This is what gives you zeal to want to serve him with your whole heart, soul, and mind from a motive of pure gratitude, not so that you might be saved, not so that you might be justified, but because by grace alone you have been justified. And this is what gives you a real motivation to have a flame of praise within you for him, not just singing words and possibly enjoying the tune and the melody or whatever, but actually from your whole heart and soul in your own way, whether you are musically gifted or not, genuinely wanting to praise him for his grace, that we have been condemned, we feel that, we accept that, and we marvel that we have been, as Paul says, saved from wrath through him.